My name is Steve. I'm one of the pastors here at the Rio Church, and I appreciate you guys joining us. So we're in a series right now called Growing in Christ. It's based on this little booklet, and it's developed by the Billy Graham Evangelical Association, and it's written by a guy named Charlie Riggs, and he worked with the Navigators. So you might be familiar with the Navigators, who were a ministry started by Dawson Trotman. And they were kind of famous for discipling people, for helping people grow in their faith journey. And so this is real similar to materials that those guys use. So I think it's a really good series of different topics of just basic things. That if you're just starting your faith journey or you wanted to reconnect with God in some way, I think these are really good things to think about and to make sure that you are pursuing these different things in your relationship with God. So today what we're going to talk about is prayer. And prayer can be a little bit of a challenging topic to talk about. For me, I really wrestled with if we should talk about this week, because I feel like we've talked about it a couple of times recently. And then also, generally, I like to kind of speak from a position of strength, like something I feel like I'm good at. I've got this figured out, and I can share it with other people. And prayer is more of a topic that I feel like is a wrestle for me. It's more like something I know that I should do more, something I should have more of a heart for, something I should be more passionate about. And so I feel like it's more like sharing from a position of weakness. And even in that, though, as I was thinking about it, it's like, well, maybe if it's that big of a struggle, maybe I should talk about it more, just even for myself, just to kind of reflect on these things and think about them. Actually, it was really encouraging looking at some of these verses. So I hope this will be encouraging to you this morning and not something that is guilt-inducing or something like that. So prayer is basically just talking to God, lifting up your request to Him, telling Him what it is you need or what you would hope would happen in this world, just expressing what's going on in your heart. It's just having a conversation with God. That's all that prayer is. It's a pretty simple thing. I've heard many times in my Christian journey that when you become a Christian, then you start communicating with God. And the way that we talk to God is through prayer, and the way that He talks to us is through the Bible. And I feel like that's partially correct. I think that is the way that we talk to God, is we talk through prayer, and we either out loud or silently in our head, we have a conversation with Him and share what's going on in our hearts. And then He talks to us, I think, through His Scripture, but also through the Spirit and impressing things on our heart, maybe through discipline sometimes, through other people talking to us. And so I think that could be a little bit more varied than what you hear sometimes. But as I think about just what God wants, I think God really desires that we would have a relationship with Him. The greatest commandment is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is to love your neighbors yourself. So if you think about the most important thing to God, the greatest commandment is that we would love Him. Well, I wouldn't say that prayer is like an ingredient to make that happen or something, or some kind of a step to either get love or to love Him. But I think what it is it's our communication with God. And so when you think of a love relationship, usually there's communication going on in that relationship, right? You're talking to each other. You're getting to know each other. You know what's on each other's hearts. And so that's why I think this is so important, is because the most important thing on God's heart is that we love Him. And one of the greatest ways we can be in that love relationship is by talking to Him and being in communication with Him. And so that's what I want to talk about here this morning, and I hope it'll be a blessing to all of us. Let's just pray. God, we do just ask that You would help us in this. God, I feel like oftentimes prayer is kind of a burdensome thing in my life. It's something I should do, or something I should do more often, or I should spend more time doing, or something. And God, I pray that You would help it for us, God, just to be something that is just natural. And that we just enjoy spending time with You, walking with You, talking to You, sharing our hearts with You. And God, I pray that You would just bless as we look at different scriptures, God, that they would come alive to us, that we would really capture Your heart in how You feel about this and how You feel about us. And God, that this would be something we could develop in our walk with You. It'd be life-giving to us as we are able to express our love for you, as we're able to express just our lives with you and develop that relationship with you at a deeper level. And so we ask that you would be at work here this morning, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so this is the statement in the little book that each topic starts off with. It just says, prayer is our lifeline to God. We need to form a habit of starting each day with prayer and then praying throughout the day. And I think that's a good recipe. It's not like, oh, you have to do it in the morning, you have to do it at night, or you have to do it a certain way. It's just, this would be a good practice for you to step into if this is your beginning place in your journey with God. But I really like that first sentence there. Prayer is our lifeline to God. It's a huge part of our connection with Him. And for me, there have been times, you know, just going through really hard trials, brokenheartedness, and just sometimes just feeling like my life has been ripped from me for a time. And boy, that connection with God, being able to pray and share my heart with Him, that's huge. It's a lifeline. But even in the day-to-day, just being in relationship with Him is a lifeline. It's so life-giving to be able to talk to Him and share our days with Him and follow Him. So, a couple things I'd focus on here. One is just that the Father wants you to talk to Him. The Father wants you to talk to Him. So in John 16:16 and 23 through 24, Jesus said, a little while, and you will see me no longer. And again a little while, and you will see me. So He's talking there about His death and resurrection. He's foreshadowing that or predicting that that's going to happen. And then 23 says, in that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He will give to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So, this is a verse that I memorized many years ago. Is this in Memory Madness? Somebody know? Okay. So, I learned it in the NIV. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. And I think memorization is really important. It's great to memorize. One danger is sometimes you memorize verses out of context, and so you just kind of have them rolling around in your head, and you're thinking about them, meditating on them, but you don't really quite have them placed accurately in Scripture. So for me, this is a verse kind of like that, because when I think of, until now you've not asked for anything in my name, I picture Jesus kind of scolding the disciples, like, you fools. You know, you haven't asked me for anything, and here I am, the Son of God. You could have asked me for stuff, and you didn't. And that's how it landed on me. I don't think that's probably the most accurate interpretation of that. So the context is really important when you think about interpretation. It's always super important. And what's going on here is Jesus is leaving, right? He's going to die. He's going to be crucified. He's going to be resurrected back to life. Then He's going to be there for about 40 days, and then He's going to leave again. And these guys are going to be left on their own, in a sense, or that's certainly how they would feel if He didn't have some of these conversations with them. So I want you to imagine them hanging out with Jesus for 3 years and what that might be like if you had access to Jesus, just your buddies. And imagine you find out your neighbor's really sick, and she's an elderly lady, and she is the sweetest lady in the world, and she fell down, and she broke her kneecap or something, I don't know, whatever. And, oh, this is kind of bugging you, and you're like, oh, how could such a terrible thing happen to this nice lady? And then you get this idea, right? It's like, oh, I could tell Jesus, and maybe Jesus could heal her, or maybe Jesus would pray for her, for me. And I would think there'd be a lot of times where you would go to Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, can you pray for me for this situation? And He'd smile and be like, oh, yeah, absolutely. And He would pray. And I imagine a lot of times that happened, then amazing miracles resulted. And you'd feel like just this cool access to God the Father, because you're with Jesus, right? And Jesus could pray anytime you wanted something. And Jesus is leaving now, right? So in a sense, you could feel like, oh, they're going to lose that. And Jesus is steering them in a new direction. He's saying, hey, something new is going to happen. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. that's something you're going to start doing now, because I'm doing a new thing here. And what's going to happen now is you're not going to be able to come to me directly like you used to. But what's going to happen instead is you're just going to be able to talk to the Father. You're going to talk to the Father, and then He'll answer you. You don't have to go through me. You can do it in my name, talk to the Father in my name, but you can talk to Him directly. And so, in a sense, I don't mean disrespect by this, but it's kind of like cutting out the middleman. It's like, wow, you're going to be able to go straight to the King and talk to the King. Like, that's just such an amazing thing. I think that's really, really cool. And the idea here is that the Father's going to respond just like He would have if Jesus had asked it. And there are lots of things I like in these verses, but I just like this idea of that your joy may be full. That as the Father answers prayers, that brings joy, and that seems to be something that He wants, right? He wants us to pray. He wants to answer our prayers. So that's really cool. So then I think about, okay, so if just like for the first time I was told, okay, now everything's changed, you're going to be able to talk to the Father yourself. If I was in their shoes, I'd be like, that's kind of scary. Like, how do I do that? What do I say? How do I open? What's that look like? And so we have different prayers in the Bible, right? We know the Lord's Prayer. We have some different prayers of Paul. And there's one really cool passage in John chapter 17. And our small group has been going through the book of John. And we actually read through John 17 this last week. And it's a really fascinating chapter. And so before small group, I got to read through it. And I was just kind of looking for like, okay, well, what's Jesus ask for? He's praying for His disciples and then praying for those who would later believe. And that's kind of cool. And I was looking for the specifics of what He asked for. And what struck me was there was just a lot of talking without asking. And for me, some of that's a little bit strange, because if you think about having a conversation with God, what do you talk about? It's a little bit weird, because it's different than a human, because He already knows everything. He knows everything you're going to say. He knows everything going on in your life, everything you're concerned with. None of it's new to Him. And He even knows your prayers before you pray them. And so sometimes I can feel a little self-defeated, like, well, then what's the point? Like, well, that seems kind of weird. And so I just want to read this little section out of John 17 to you. It's starting at verse 6, and Jesus is praying for His disciples. And He says, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. Now I want you to imagine God responding as if like, yeah, I already know all this. Okay, so Jesus says that, and then you hear a voice from heaven, and it says, I already know that. Okay? And then He says, they were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. I know that as well. Now, they know that everything you have given me comes from you. Again, I know that. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. Yeah, I know all these things. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. Nothing here is new. I know all of this. And the reason I want you to think through it that way is just because I guess that's kind of how it landed on me. Like, what is He talking about? Like, God knows all this stuff. He's not asking for stuff yet. Later on, I mean, there's just a lot of conversation. And then He'll say, yeah, I pray that you would keep them safe. But it almost seems like an afterthought. Like the main thing He's doing in this prayer is just talking. He's just talking to God. And I think that's really cool. I don't think God was frustrated with that at all. I don't think God's response would be like, well, I already know all this stuff. It's like, oh, cool. I'm talking with Jesus. We're in conversation here. And I think that's a really beautiful thing. So Kathleen just came home from a trip yesterday. Krista Whitney and Kathleen went to Manhattan, Kansas, and did a biblical womanhood conference there, like they did here maybe a year or two ago. And I think it was a really good time, but, you know, a couple of times Kathleen called, and we were able to talk on the phone, and she would ask, you know, oh, did you remember to take Zeb to the doctor? Did you get his asthma medication after that? And did the plumber ever call? And, you know, some of it's detail stuff. And then, you know, someone's just, hey, how you doing? What are you thinking about? What are you working on? And I'm asking her stuff. Oh, okay, well, did you talk to this person? And what did they say? And who did you meet? And who's the favorite person you've talked to so far? Who's cried so far? Did everybody cry? And why is everybody always crying all the time? And, you know, and so this is just the conversation we have, right? And then she came home, and then we did more of that. And we just talked about all kinds of different things. And it's just, it's relationship. It's just relationship. It's just conversation. And I think that's really healthy in a relationship. And if you don't have that, I think that's really, really hard in a relationship. And I know people who, I mean, I'm not very talkative. Probably some of you have been offended by me at times, right? Like, I went to church today, I walked right by the pastor, he didn't say hi, or we talked, and it was awkward, and, you know, I admit, I'm not a great conversationalist, and sometimes I don't know what to say, and I get stuck, and sorry. But it's like, well, at least I talked to my wife, you know? And I know people, literally, who can go on an 8-hour trip with their spouse and not say 3 sentences. And I just think, well, that's really sad. Because in a healthy relationship, you talk. And you have conversation. And so with God, I think the same thing is true. God wants us to talk, even just conversationally, with him. So your point is the Father wants you to talk to him, so talk to him. I want you to pray. Pray. Have a conversation. Read through John 17 and see what I'm talking about. It's really cool. So you guys have your little cards. So a couple times over the last few months, what we've done is prayer requests. We're going to do something a little bit different today. And what we did before is you would write down a prayer request that you had, and then we'd collect them all and shuffle them all up, and then you would take one. Actually, we all wrote down three, and then you would take three. And then we tried to pray for that person, or those three different people, for 40 days. Just as a way of loving each other and praying for each other. I think that's a really good thing to do. I want to do something a little bit different today. I think it's going to be a little bit harder. And what I'd like to do is just do kind of a prayer practice for 40 days. And it's just between you and God. And just like the other one, it's like, well, if you do it for 15 days and you would have done it for none, then great, that's a victory. So it's not like a legalistic thing. But I would encourage you to do this for the next 40 days. So you're going to have three different things to pray for every day for 40 days. I almost fell off the stage there. Back up a little bit. Write on your card, tell God about your day. And so what you do is tomorrow morning, you wake up, you pull out your card, and you'd say, oh yeah, the first thing is I'm supposed to tell God about my day. And you just talk to him. He already knows it all, but it's a conversation. And you just say, hey God, here's what's going on. Yesterday I went to church, and then we went out to eat, and I got a little bit frustrated when this happened, and then we're watching TV, and I feel kind of bad about that because it was not the greatest show. And then we did this thing, and oh, and I got to talk to so-and-so, and that really lifted my heart. And yeah, that's what my day was yesterday. It's no rocket science or anything. It's just being in relationship. And so I would encourage you to do that for the next 40 days, and you can continue on after that. So that's our first practical prayer step. Okay, our next point here is your Father's heart is for your good. Your Father's heart is for your good. And I really like this passage in Matthew 7. Jesus is praying, and he says, or actually he's talking, and he says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, to the one who knocks it will be opened. And I love that part. There's the ask, the seek, and the knock. And that's followed by the getting and the finding and the opening. So it's kind of cool. It's not just, hey, keep asking, and that's the end of it. Like, just ask and nothing's going to happen. And sometimes that's how I can feel about prayer. And just for me to see, okay, God's heart is to answer and to bring good. And we'll see that as we continue in the passage. Verse 9, he says, which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? And so his heart is to bring good, just like a daddy. That's what he's saying there, right? Like when a kid goes up and asks their daddy for something, the daddy wants to bring good. He doesn't always give the kid what he wants, but generally he does if it's a good thing and if it's something within his power to do. And I just love that. It's like, well, that's God's heart for us. And to me, that's really important because I do have some times in my life where I've seen some really cool answers to prayer that I kind of hold on to, like, okay, that was awesome. Like, I really felt like that's more than coincidence could explain. You know, that God did something, God answered something. So there are times that I've seen really cool answers to prayer, but there are also lots of times I've prayed for things. It's like, okay, God, why didn't you do that? I just met somebody at the park the other day when we were doing the youth group teen outreach, and he's a pastor of a small church. Talking to him, I'm like, oh, where do you guys meet? And he's like, oh, somebody gave us a building. I'm like, oh, you jerk, you know? It's like, every pastor has prayed for that over and over and over and over again, and it actually happened to him. It's like, ah, it's frustrating. And I've known two people like that, two pastors, and another guy, somebody gave him a bunch of building materials to build a building. So I'm still buildingless, but no, it's cool. It's cool that God blessed him, right? I'm just kidding about the jerk thing. He might be a jerk. I don't really know. I didn't talk to him very long. As far as I know, he's not. Probably a nice guy. So it can be frustrating with God when we feel like things don't get answered. But some things do. But in any case, what I love is, but his heart is for me, right? His heart is to bring me good. And I think that's super important. So one thing to think about here is that what we need is not always physical. What we need is not always to get stuff. We've probably all prayed to win the lottery before. If you haven't, you should try. It's never worked for me, but it's like, why not, right? So we prayed that, and it's just a thing, and maybe you'll get it, maybe you won't. But there are a lot of things that go on in our hearts that are different than that, that are a deeper level. When I think about just like a little kid wanting to spend time with his dad, and maybe it's even his birthday and his dad hasn't noticed yet, and his dad's a workaholic, and so he goes up and, you know, hey, Dad, I was thinking maybe we could go fishing today. The dad's like, oh, son, you know, I'd love to, but I really can't. And here's $20. Why don't you go buy yourself some sodas and some ice cream and some worms to go fishing, and, you know, good luck. I hope you catch some stuff. It's like, okay, well, that's a blessing. It's a blessing to get $20, but it's not what he wants, right? There's something deeper that he wants. When I think about my relationship with Kathleen, you know, there are times that she's asked me about spending money. We had 8 kids. For sure, there were times when we were really struggling financially, and she would come up and say, hey, you know, I was thinking about getting glasses for this kid, or I was thinking about getting new clothes for this kid, or I was thinking about whatever. Even now, you know, we have some weddings coming up. You know, I was thinking about spending $100 on a new dress, or $200 on a pair of shoes. And I'm just kidding. She wouldn't really spend $200 on a pair of shoes. She would spend a lot more than that. No, I'm just kidding. She's very conservative. And if she had spent $200, I don't want to judge anyone. If you're worried about me judging you, I won't even know it if you have a $200 pair of shoes on. So, yeah, so she brings me these very reasonable requests. And I'm like, sure, of course, because right now we have that money. And it's like, yeah, you know, absolutely. But over the years, when Kathleen has come and requested something of me, very rarely is it that sort of thing. Usually what she wants is my time, right? Usually what she wants is relationship. And so she comes and she says, hey, can we go for a walk around the block? I'm like, sure. Or hey, can we go for a drive? Or hey, I feel like we haven't talked for a while. Can we do lunch together today or whatever? And just to recognize that there are physical things that we need sometimes, but those emotional needs and relational needs are also very important. And so we want to be careful not to just ignore those things. And I don't have the greatest verse for this, but I've heard lots of times, you know, David's a great example of praying, and he really poured his heart out when he was praying. And here in Psalm 4:1, it says, answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. And David often is kind of just pouring out his heart to God. I think we're going to sing Psalm 40 later on, a new song. And I don't remember how the Christian version goes, but I remember the U2 version. And it goes, he lifted me up out of the pit, out of the miry clay. And just this picture of God rescuing him out of the pit. And you see that with David a lot, just these emotional things. He's crying out passionately to God to rescue him. And sometimes he's kind of angry. And he'll be like, God, take my enemies and kick their teeth in. It's like, whoa, you know, you can't say that. This is in the Bible, you know. And he's just being real with God, what's going on in his heart. And I think just to realize that God wants to meet your needs, your physical needs, your emotional needs, your relational needs, all that stuff is stuff that you can bring to him. So your Father's heart is for your good, and so you can ask him for what you need, and that's something that matters to him. He wants to answer your requests. He wants to bring good to your life. So on your little card, what you can write for your second thing that you would pray each day for 40 days is tell God about your needs. Tell God about your needs. It might be financial, physical, emotional, spiritual. And just, again, kind of conversationally, you can just say, you know, hey, God, I'm just really wrestling right now because my neighbor's really sick or because I'm really discouraged or I feel like I've been pursuing you and I haven't heard from you in a long time or there's this need that I have, and just pour your heart out to him. And again, you can read through Psalms if you would like to see some examples of that. But God cares about all that stuff, and it's good for us just to be in the practice of bringing our requests to him, not just to win the lottery, but the stuff that's going on in our heart as well. And your last point there is just the Father wants to pursue common goals and dreams with you. Okay, that might seem a little bit weird. Let me share what I'm thinking here. So this is the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, 9 through 10. Jesus said, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, or holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Probably everybody's familiar with that, and it's a famous prayer that we've all heard a million different times in some form somewhat close to that. And for me, I'm kind of a simple person, and so I like things explained clearly. I like to be able to like reword it, like understand it enough that I can re-express it clearly. And just right from the get-go, this kind of bugs me, because he says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And even if we change the word to holy, holy be your name. I find that frustrating. It's like, what are you asking for there? Like, are you saying, make your name more holy? Or are you saying, let me make your name more holy, or make your name holy in all the earth? And so he's explaining something really simple. He's putting it in really simple terms, and then he starts off with something that is a little bit fuzzy to me. And so I would like us to think about that just for a second. Because to me, it almost seems like just stating something. Like, our Father in heaven, loving be your character. Or, powerful be the things you can do. What do you mean? What are you asking for there? And so I'm going to think about this just for a second. So in a relationship, it's very common for us to have common goals or dreams about what's going to happen in the future. And I have one daughter, just got married in December, and I have Jai and Lav who are up here. These two are going to get married in less than a month. How many days? 27 days. Okay, I know he would know exactly. Okay, and then I have a daughter and future son-in-law up in Colorado who are getting married about a month after that. And so when they're in these relationships, you can see this dreaming and planning going on, right? Where they're like, oh, so what are we going to do? And how are we going to provide? And what do we want to give our lives to? How are we going to help people? Where are we going to go to church? How are we going to save money? How are we going to retire someday? Where are we going to live? Are we going to have pets? Are we going to have kids? How many kids do we want to have? And this is all just part of living life together, right? As you're kind of dreaming together and sharing common goals and a common heart for things. And so when you think about Jesus' prayer in light of that, I think it makes a lot of sense where Jesus is like, well, holy be your name. It's like, that's something you want, God. That's something I want. He's not necessarily saying, okay, make that happen right now, that every single person on the earth honors your name like they should. To me, it seems more like this is a common thing that we both want. And he says, your kingdom come. This is Jesus praying. Your kingdom come. And it doesn't happen right then. And it hasn't happened yet to some sense. And what's he doing there? I think he's just saying, this is my heart. This is my heart, is that someday you would be king of all. And that everybody would recognize that. And that would bring love and peace and unity and beautiful things would happen. He says, your will be done. And I guess you could say, well, in some sense, his will is always being done. But I think what he's talking about here is like on earth as it is in heaven. Like here, that earth would be, your will would be done on earth like your will is done in heaven. This would be a beautiful place, like that's a beautiful place. And it would all happen someday. And he's like, let's dream this together. This is this thing that we're pursuing together. And then it's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's like, this is this thing that they're doing together, that they're dreaming together, that they want, that they see happening in the future. Like even the song we sang earlier, Future Past, you are my future, you are my past. It's like to be able to dream with God of, man, God, you have a future for me. And I want to agree with you and pray with you about our future together. And so just practically with God on your little card would be to pray for something or someone that's on God's heart. So it doesn't have to be some big wild thing, but just there's something that you would know, okay, I think God would want this. I think this would be a goal of God's. And just agree with him on that. Yeah, God, I just pray, God, that, you know, there would be revival in our country. You're not necessarily like expecting that to happen tomorrow or something, but it's just agreeing with God's heart on something. And so those would be the three things that I would encourage you to pray for. So on our last point there, it's just the Father wants to pursue common goals and dreams with you. So talk to God about your common dreams. That's what we do in relationships, right? We talk about our common interests, common dreams, the things that we share a heart about. And so we just can do the same thing with God. So hopefully that'll be a helpful exercise for us. Hopefully it's not terribly different than maybe things that we're doing now. But for me, just thinking about it in that way kind of brought me back to my youth a little bit. Like, I used to pray more that way. And I think that was really healthy. And I would love to pursue that more myself. And I think it would just be a good thing for us to practice together as a church for the next 40 days. Again, no guilt. No one's going to check in on you. If you do it for 2 days, that might be 2 days more than you would have. But it's just a goal, something to pursue. And so I'd encourage you to develop some kind of a habit where you can go before God and just pray, just talk to him. So let's close in prayer here. Lord, we thank you for the time here. And thank you just for how you are a God who loves us and who enjoys communication with us. Just you invite us to pray again and again and again. I pray you would help us with just the struggles that we have of whatever, being discouraged or not feeling like certain prayers are going to get answered or just losing hope, giving up. God, it's a dark world, and we really feel the pressure of that at times. God, help us to continue to lean on you, to cry out to you, and to pursue you. I pray that we would pursue you relationally and not just always pursue you with a list of requests, although that's fine too, but help us not to miss that relational aspect. So we love you, and thank you for this time here. In Jesus' name, amen.